Welcome to the Dark Star Adventure Cast, where the stars are cold, the void is endless, and dangers lurk in every shadow. Out here, trust is a gamble, and survival is never guaranteed. On tonight's Adventure Cast...
Let's just say, I have no interest in ending up in an Omnitech prison.
I didn't think these corporate has-beens could stoop any lower.
Yeah, but there... I'll find the people that killed my sister.
Knowledge, information, technology. That's what I'm after.
So sit back and enjoy. This is the Dark Star Adventure Cast.
Woo! Yeah!
It's been a minute. How are we feeling about the death of Victor Strake? Well... how do we feel about Felix killing Victor Strake in cold blood and then Robert dumping his body out of the scapegoat?
Is it cold blood if I was high under the influence while it happened? Is that still cold blood? Or is that like...
what would make it not cold blood in that instance to you?
If he was warm.
Does that somehow make it better?
Yeah, it wasn't cold and calculated. It was just, you know, I was vibing. It was a vibe kill.
You weren't cold or calculated. You were running hot and very spontaneous.
Yep. But I mean, now his brother, I guess, is going to be after us.
Oh, yeah, right.
He seemed pretty chill that we killed his brother, though.
Yeah, that didn't really give any chase. So.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to come up in the future or anything.
No way.
I also, before we really get started, I wanted to highlight that I think Haley had the most genius plan last episode that has happened in this campaign so far.
Shocking, I know.
She's like, what if we light the purple flowers on fire? And then no more ideas. Everyone was like, good idea.
Hey, yeah,
that settles it.
When you hit a banger, you just, everybody goes with it. Until somebody's like, and then we roll down the windows. And I was like, oh.
If Haley comes up with more ideas to get Felix high, I am all on board with that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone thought Felix was going to get high. Everyone forgot he was like, super into drugs when they
There's
lived
no
the entire
way we
field
forgot
of
that. No, no.
I forgot it. And
he
then
did not,
took a big,
he did not forget.
And he huffed it and I was sad. Like, oh no.
I just can't wait to get off of Visa. Like, I am tired of being on this smelly ass planet.
I am just shocked we made it out with the car. I was so sure that thing was going to be a smoldering pile of nuclear rubble that we had to basically detonate at some point.
You were cheering on two different things, neither of which seemed to have happened. One, blowing up the car. No one knew why, but blowing up the car. And two, Froggy becoming the voice of a revolution that you were trying to start. But the way you tried to start it was getting Froggy to get back on the radio.
It was you. As soon as you said the word plutonium, everyone was like,
Wait a minute.
What else could we use this car for?
It just reminds me of Robert rubbing his hair all over things and being like, plan accomplished.
Master of disguise.
So you guys do have plutonium on your ship right now because you successfully got the Aurora into the scapegoat, got the imposter off of the bridge, and then took off to go retrieve Dr. Voss. Because if I recall correctly, the last thing that she radioed to you was that she was in a bit of trouble and that she needed you to come save her.
Yeah, something tells me the same guys that came to find us might have paid her a visit as well. So all we have to do is get back to her lab, right? And then we can finally ditch this place, hopefully with our lives and our fancy car.
So that seems like a good a place as any to start. So why don't we get into it? It's late afternoon as you fly low over the city of Wafisa, making your way back towards the southern part of the city, back to Dr. Alara Voss. You spent all this time trying to just convince her to come with you, that now that you've finally done the deed that she asked you to accomplish and retrieved your ship, now she is in peril, and everything you've worked for is about to become undone. There is a spot nearby where you can park the ship. So Robert, you touch down gently in the scapegoat, and the crew disembarks and begins to make its way warily towards Mistrata 4, where Dr. Alara Voss is hopefully still waiting for you.
I really hope we don't lose the ship again.
Tell me about it. Let's make this quick.
When you're about a block away, you can see that there is smoke rising from the front of Mistrata 4, and as you draw closer, you can see that the door has been breached. Scorch marks all around the edges, smoke rising from the hole that was made in the wall. In front of you is simply a dark void. There doesn't seem to be any power inside the station. Gazing inside with only the sunlight to help you, you cannot see much.
I pull out the radio. Doc, you still there?
Yes, I can't talk right now.
I think I don't even answer that because I feel like that means that if I say anything, it's compromising. So I just look at the others and I say, seems like the good doctor is in need of a rescue.
Let's get it done, guys.
Okay, and you make your way into the research station. The air is very cold in here. It actually feels like the environmental systems have maybe gone a little bit of haywire and are just pumping out air-conditioned air constantly, regardless of the temperature outside. It's quite frankly getting close to freezing in here. The lights are all off. There are flickering LEDs on various control panels and electronics throughout this hallway, but there are no doors. It's a very short hallway, 10 feet, opens up into a slightly larger area. In here is a living room area that appears to have been the subject of a massive explosion, but not anytime recently. The combat experts amongst you, Robert and Haley, don't smell any smoke and don't detect any recent fire or explosions or anything like that. So whatever happened here happened a long time ago. There is one exit out of this room off to the right, and there is an open door to your left that leads to a bathroom.
Well, y'all, where do you think Alara is? I mean, we might as well check the bathroom here real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to go check the bathroom. Someone can back me up.
Yeah, no, I'm right behind you. Grab your shoulder, have you lead through, and I'm on overwatch behind you.
Should somebody, keep an eye on the scapegoat, perhaps?
What are they going to do, steal it again?
So, Haley, you and Robert make your way over to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a multi-stall affair. So, as you peek with your rifle at the ready, you see there are multiple stalls and multiple sinks. Obviously, for this research station that probably housed a dozen or more people, you don't hear anything in there, and you don't see anything.
What the hell? There's something real off here, you guys.
This is the low temperature, the lack of people around here. Yeah, I'm getting a real bad feeling about this.
At this point, I feel like I have no option but to radio the doctor again.
Yeah, I think we, yeah.
So I just pull the radio back out, and I radio as quietly as possible. Hopefully she can turn down the volume on her end, but I just say through the radio, Doc, we're at the research station. Where are you?
You hear a loud electronic noise, and everyone's eyes snap up to the corner to see a camera aggressively swing towards you, its red light blinking. And over the radio you hear,
there are three of them in here. Go to your right, go down the hallway, and fucking kill them and get me out of here.
Oh, you heard the cranky doctor.
I'm not cranky.
I switch it because I did not remember to hear that part. I'll get Thorne. I know cranky. She's cranky. That's cranky.
Plastic cranky.
I'm not cranky.
We know, you're just very stressed out, ma'am.
You don't even have to press the button. I can hear you when you're in my station. I can hear, I can see you, and I can see how goddamn slow you're going. Kill these guys. I need to get out of here soon.
Well, you heard the clearly not cranky doctor.
You see a flashlight play out over the wall of the hallway on the right side, like that doorway that you're supposed to be going through. And you hear two whispered voices. And you swear you hear a man say,
yeah, over here, some sort of radio or something.
I look up at everybody like, uh-oh, here's our company.
I look for cover, like whatever nearest cover I can find and duck behind it.
I hit the deck, find cover.
There is a overturned couch that is overturned into a corner because of some blast. Same thing with a larger coffee table that's probably 5 feet long. There's also an entertainment center that's fallen over onto the ground.
Yeah, I get behind that couch.
Yeah, I give Haley the universal but silent signal for, hey, give me that gun back.
I give him the gun back.
And then I take it and make for the cover, since I didn't realize you were so much specced for punching.
So Robert Ross hit the deck. Felix is hiding behind a couch. Thorne is hiding. Haley, what are you doing?
Yeah, can I sneak by to the other side of the entrance to wait for them to enter the room and get behind them?
Yeah, the old storage container.
Yeah,
the same thing you did last time.
At the power station. Yeah.
You definitely have an MO.
I rush over there, crouch down. Not rush, but I sneak over there, crouch down, and stand over by the doors to wait for them to come into the room.
Okay. So the first guy, you see his flash, like, you see the tip of his gun poke through the door, and there's a flashlight attached to the top of it. And it looks like a laser rifle, just like the previous soldier had. And his flashlight plays across the room before resting on Robert Ross, who's laying prone in the middle of the floor, not really behind anything. And the soldier says, "Hello.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking?"
And the guy takes a step into a room and says, "Put your hands on your head."
"Only if you paint me like one of your French girls."
I punch him in the face.
Do you have a warrior yell when you do that?
Nope. No yell. Or
not like some sort of Xena-style ululation?
Nope. I just go, "Rah!" It's just to, like, get the noise out. Just go, "Rah!" and, like, punch the guy in the face. I will work on the yell, the combat yell. I'm still working to find my identity on the Blackout One crew.
Apparently that's not us anymore. Apparently we're the Aravos crew.
True. Oh my god.
They have no respect for Blackout One or Strike Team 6.
Yeah, right?
But either way, I just went after this guy. I'm gonna save you guys.
Oh.
I go, "Rawr!" and I grab his gun out of his hand so I can throw it to the ground. And then I grab him by the back of his head and shove it into my knee and throw his body down to the ground as well.
He is instantly unconscious from the knee maneuver, and his friend snaps his gun up, flashlight directly in your face. Now's a good time for Thorn to go, who is readied with his rifle.
That is perfect, because, yeah, I'm just chilling with this thing. Like, I'm, like, around the corner by the bathroom with this thing just trained on the doorway, waiting for somebody to foolishly bring their body far enough out that I can finish it off. And when I see this guy train his gun on Haley, I take that as my opportunity. I rolled a 13 to hit him.
13 hits.
And it deals 9 points of damage.
Oh my god.
The bullet just pierces right through his neck. He was ready to pull the trigger, but he was a split second too late.
He gargles on his own blood as he slumps against the wall in a parody of what happened to Froggy and slumps down to the floor, dead.
I nod at Haley.
Thanks, Thorn.
Well, we better hurry. These guys were armed, right?
Yes, they both had laser rifles.
I grab another one of the rifles and I just thrust it towards Felix, even though he's not much of a shooter. I just want to make sure everybody leaves this situation heavily armed.
Thanks, boss. I join the group out from behind the couch, make our way down the hallway.
So the hallway's not very long. There is a door to your left shortly after traversing down part of the hallway. This is the kitchen area. Further along, there is a closed door, big metal door, with a viewing window in it that has metal mesh built into the window so that it's shatterproof. Inside, through the window, you can see the third soldier hunched over a keyboard and typing into a terminal. In front of him is a wall of blinking lights and monitors. And you can see that he's lit from the left and right as well, as if the electronics are completely encasing the room and lighting him from all angles.
I'm waiting for the heavies to take him out.
Robert, do you want to take this one, or?
Yeah, I think I might give her a whirl.
So as you say that, over the radio, Alara says,
"Don't shoot your guns in that room."
And you hear the whir of a camera above your head once again.
Why not? We're leaving anyway. Who cares about all that equipment?
It's incredibly important equipment.
I mean, it does look nice. Would like to play with it a little bit.
Years of research I've spent here. Do not shoot your gun in that room.
Fine. Not fine. I totally understand. I've been in this situation before. Okay.
Unfortunately, poor Haley's going to have to clothesline a motherfucker again.
Yeah, let's describe the situation again just to make sure I position myself correctly.
There is a metal door in front of you with a small viewing window that you can see through. And then inside, there is a square room with all four walls completely crowded by electronics and monitors. There is a man typing onto a keyboard at a terminal with his back to you on the far wall.
This guy's gonna know as soon as we open the door. We can't shoot anything.
I might be able to help with that.
Ooh, what do you got for me?
All of a sudden you hear a heavy, deep bass coming from the room in front of you. Thorn, you instantly recognize the riff of Red Reverie coming through the speakers.
Amazing.
A classic.
So the guy inside looks up in frustration, and you just hear him pointing his gun at all the monitors and just screaming and yelling his head off, clearly super pissed off at the music coming out of the speakers.
I use this opportunity to run in.
Yeah, you throw open the door.
"I'll shoot you to shit!"
What the fuck? He turns around just as you're upon him.
Yep, I am leapfrogging over desks. I am jumping and coming down on him with my fist. And it connects. A left hook for the ages. And he just very much spins a bit and plops down back into his chair.
He's either unconscious or dead, probably dead, since you probably just snapped his neck or shattered his skull with that 7 damage of just mammoth iron fist crashing into him. Red River returns down, and Dr. Laravaugh says,
"Great, great, that's all of them. Thank you. Thank you, was that so hard?"
"No, ma'am. It was... All right, we're here to get you."
"It was harder than I would have liked, but let's get out of here."
"Yeah, let's get... Well, the getting's good."
"I guess I didn't really think about this part. Okay, don't freak out."
"Is Alara a robot?"
"You're a program, aren't you?"
"I'm not a robot or a program. I'm a person."
"When were you a... When are you a... When have you been a person?"
"I was a person up until about 2 years ago. I'm still a person."
"Yep."
"But I currently live in a machine."
From deep within the machinery before you, a blue steel orb crisscrossed with strange hieroglyphics begins to glow with a cold white light. A celestial harmony rings through the air as Red Revelry fades. The orb pulsates in time with Dr. Voss's voice, which comes from speakers all around you.
"It's sort of a long story."
"Well, hot damn, Doc, you're just full of surprises."
"I'm still a xenolinguist."
"Yeah, you're so much more than that. Look at this. Look at you." "All right, beautiful. Felix, calm down."
"Beautiful.
Keep it in your pants."
"I'm not comfortable with this. Just leave me here. Just leave me here."
"Yeah, I think you're coming with it. Or we can burn it and burn it with fire."
"I think we've burned enough today."
"How do we transport you, Doctor?"
The glass encasement that surrounds her snicks and slides into the machinery.
"Once you disconnect me, I won't be able to talk anymore."
"Do we have speakers in the snip coat?"
"Dr. Voss, when we get you back to the ship, how do I reconnect you?"
"When you bring me to the ship, just put me near your communication station."
"All right, we can do that."
"Felix, is it going to be safe? She's going to hack into the ship. She's clearly a programmed cyborg."
Robert, we have...
"I'm not a cyborg. I'm a human."
"We have so much to learn from her. We don't have time for this right now. It's time to go."
"We really, really don't. Let's go."
"Damn it, people. I'm going to tell you I told you so, but yeah, let's do it. Let's do it."
So I reach in. And I disconnect Dr. Voss from her system.
Okay. Her light is still on, but she's no longer able to communicate.
Not home.
I think she's aware she just can't communicate.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
All right. So I will cradle her gently and gesture the team that it's time to go.
Okay. Hey, spacers. Thanks for cruising through the cosmos with us. If you want to go behind the airwaves and dive deeper into our universe, join our Patreon crew. You'll get ad-free early access to every episode, as well as a host of bonus content, including Star Master logs, what I'm planning, what I'm improvising, and what secrets are still waiting in the dark. Ooh. Your support helps keep this ship running, and the stories unfolding. So if you love exploring the Viridian Expanse with us, hop on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast and become part of the crew. Thanks for being on board. Let's follow that signal together. Everyone makes their way back to the scapegoat, which this time has not been stolen.
Thank God.
Board the scapegoat with Dr. Alara Voss in your arms, Felix, and what would you like to do?
Set her down next to the communication station while we get the ship ready for takeoff.
The ancient alien hieroglyphics that are covering her steel or some sort of alloy surface begin to glow, tracing with blue and purples and whites all around. The communication station seems to respond in kind. She rolls over slightly, almost as if responding to a gravity shift, before catching on something on the communications panel. A spark erupts, and she sinks into the LCD panel. From out of the speakers of the scapegoat, you hear Dr. Alara Voss say,
"I didn't mean to ruin the panel, but I had to connect somehow."
"No worries, panels can be replaced."
"Yeah, Felix will get right on that."
"So, I guess I have some explaining to do."
"I actually have a lot of questions for you."
"Plenty of time for that once we're safely off-world."
"Yeah, it's gotten kind of messy here."
"Yeah, I feel like we need to make tracks, people. Let's get out of here."
Okay, so you guys kind of silence her for a minute, and you're going to wait till you're safely up in orbit. You warm up the engines, and you take off from Wafisa
leaving that planet behind, perhaps forever, saying goodbye to the vast city and the methane explosions and the soldiers of the great work. And you make your way off-world and start heading towards the coordinates of the mysterious signal that supposedly Omnitech gave you, but it's looking increasingly like they never gave you that mission at all.
All right, somebody here has some explaining to do.
Right. Okay, it's not complicated.
And then she proceeds to tell you an incredibly complicated thing.
Of course.
Okay, there is some truth to be told. I am a xenolinguist. My name is Dr. Alara Voss. I am human. I was with a team on Wafisa. Our mission was to discover alien artifacts, which we were quite successful at. Wafisa has quite a few of them. And to study them, research them, and then ship them off-world. This was after the troubled times, after Wafisa already fell. So we didn't think we'd really see any trouble, and we didn't. We were a successful team, and that makes what happened next all the more painful. We found this orb. Well, Tom found this orb, and it was nasty. Like all the other items we found, we ran through the tests, but when we introduced it to electrical current, it reacted poorly. The explosion killed us all. I remember dying, but I woke up, and here I am in this body. I'm assuming I'm a copy of myself, or at best my consciousness was transferred. I guess I could never really know.
Wait, what was it, the artifact?
Yes. Whatever this artifact is, it transferred or copied my intelligence into itself. I'm not an artificial intelligence, I'm something more, something human. Entrapped.
But only you, not any of your comrades.
No, I was performing the experiment. I was in direct contact with the artifact when it happened. That's all I can imagine is the reason why I survived, if you can call this survival. That explains who I am, but it doesn't explain what I've done. Once my team died, well, I didn't want Omnitech to know exactly what I was. I wanted help, but I didn't want the type of help that Omnitech would bring to me. As a scientist with Omnitech, I know that I would just be researched and prodded. So I began looking into everything I could in the computer system, including everything off-world that I could access. I ran out of things to look at.
Well, the ExoNet only has so much on offer.
I started digging into my own past. I started looking back at my home planet, you know, see how people are doing. And that's when everything changed for me. I discovered the truth. The truth of Viridyne Industries. When I was a girl, Viridyne purchased my settlement. They employed everyone there, made it into a corporate town.
Sounds familiar to me.
We were in poverty. It was a backwater podunk planet, and we were barely scraping by. But Viridyne gave everyone opportunity. People like me, intelligent, capable, we were given jobs, mostly off-world, working for Viridyne or Viridyne subsidiaries like Omnitech. Things did not work out so well for the people that stayed on-world. Viridyne experimented on them. Terrible, terrible genetics experiments put on by their other subsidiary company, Prometheon. I couldn't let that lie. I couldn't let that stand. I quickly fabricated an illusion around this research station. The explosion that killed me and my teammates never happened. Covered it up. I fabricated reports. They went out on a schedule. Omnitech thought we were still operational, discovering and researching alien artifacts. Everything was well. And then, I bent my new powers to take down Viridyne Labs. And this is where you come in.
Really now? This better be good. Definitely don't trust your metal eyes.
A long-range hauler had to go fairly far afield to avoid a cosmic storm near the outer limits of the sector. Out there, he detected something. A mysterious signal. But he didn't know what he was looking at. He thought it was just simple background radiation, so he ignored it. But when he docked on Sibylline, all of his transit logs were uploaded to the Space Transit Authority. I have thousands of notifications waiting for just such an event, and one of them was raised. I downloaded the signal. I looked through the logs, and although it was garbled, I immediately recognized the telltale signature markings of a Prometheon technology signal. The very corporation that experimented on and effectively destroyed my homeworld.
Those bastards.
So I hatched a plan. What can I say? I'm vengeful. First I would need a ship, and then I would need a crew to pilot it. I don't have access to everything, but one thing I do have access to is Omnitech systems. I called up a list of candidates that I could call to active duty. I filtered that list again and again. People that were not currently on active duty. People relegated to desk work. Prisoners contracted with OmniTech that nobody would miss. People that work in the shadows. People that are obscure. I needed a decent pilot to fly here, a hacker and a communications expert to follow the signal, a gunner and muscle to protect me, and lastly, a respectable businessman to be my voice. They would need a ship, one that wouldn't be missed. I found a practically derelict OmniTech merchant class rotting away on Chimera 4. I fabricated a mission detail, I scheduled you, the crew, I gathered you to the space station, and I let my pre-recorded briefing play out. Get the ship, come collect me from Wafisa, and let's go figure out what that mysterious signal is. Of course, I already know what it is. It's a secret Prometheon base. Viridyne is incredibly protective over where Prometheon's headquarters is. So, once the ship is within range of this quote-unquote mysterious signal, the virus that I've been writing would be uploaded. Prometheon's airlocks would open, their environmental systems would crash, and all of their data would be erased. Lastly, the reactor would explode. Truly turning to dust any hopes of recovering the valuable data stored on that godforsaken base.
Haley rushes to the window and is just like, oh my god, please, please let nothing be exploding for real. And it's just Voss's sound effects.
Voss pauses for a second and everyone kind of looks at you, Haley. And then she continues.
But things didn't exactly go to plan. Before you got here, my gas main was switched off, forcing me to go into reserve power. I couldn't access the ExoNet anymore. I had to pause development of my virus. So when you got here, I had to send you to turn the power back on. And while that happened, the Guardians of the Works stole your ship.
And luckily, we got my baby back.
I didn't want to have to tell you any of this. I was hoping to leave you out of it. But now Viridyne, OmniTech, and Prometheon, and hell, probably half of the other corporations Viridyne has under its umbrella are probably aware of you. And worst of all, Victor Strake, who everyone knows about, the top risk assessment officer at Viridyne.
Everyone knows him.
Is assigned to this case. Everyone knows Victor. His record is spotless, and I guarantee he will not let us be the black spot on that record. I've collected some information. I can see through your ship's cameras the looks on some of your faces. Why should we help her? She tricked us. Why would we ever want to help her? Before you make a decision about whether to simply dump me out the airlock or actually take me to that Prometheon base, let me show you a couple things. Is that okay?
Yeah, but to be honest, I'm totally on board with helping you. This is really cool tech, and I just want to get my hands on it longer.
This is my body, though.
Yeah, but you can't feel this, can you? I knock on it.
No, I can't, but I don't like it still.
Felix, don't put your hands on the doctor's body. All right, I'll ask first. I'm sorry.
Felix Learns Boundaries, Episode 8 of the Adventure Cast.
All right, what do you got for us?
Haley and Robert.
A video comes up on the communication screen. It's some sort of black ops mission, some infiltration. It's a body cam by a soldier on that mission.
Aww.
She narrates over it.
This is Strike Force 6 on their final mission. Robert, you were there. Haley, your older sister, was in command. It didn't go exactly how OmniTech told you it went.
And on screen, you can see Haley, as shown from Robert's cam on his chest, boarding into a helicopter and taking off as a ton of guerrilla fighters are swarming the jungles below. In the distance, you see a mech, towering, stories high. It fires, the missiles, striking the helicopter. A glitch in the video, and then Robert's crawling across the ground, and you see Haley under a bush, dead.
I don't know why you're showing us this. I was there, and I never, never wanted to see that again.
Several documents come up on screen.
This is proof of Viridyne and OmniTech's complicity in Haley's death. You thought you were sent there to liberate a colony, assist in the Red Rice Wars. What you didn't know is that you yourself were an experiment. Your squad, Robert, sent in to save Haley. Haley sent before you to help the colony and everything that transpired there. It was a test. A test that you failed. Would they go forward with the type of experiments and training that produced someone like you, Robert? Or would they go a different way?
And that's all we're worth? Just an experiment? Just ones and zeros? Just a number in the file? And that was why Haley was taken from us? God, I didn't think these corporate has-beens could stoop any lower. Now, Alar, I want to believe you, but some emails, some paperwork. You're a, air quotes, person. How do I know you didn't just fabricate any of this here?
You don't, but you are the enemy of Omnitech now. And you know what we do to our enemies, Robert.
Because of you.
Well, you're in it now, and I've seen your history. And what's more, I can pay you.
I've done what I have been ordered to do. Now, am I proud of it? No. Done what my higher-ups have made me. I will take all sorts of shit from any person. It's what they've trained me to do. I'm just some grunt. But I don't like to be lied to. Not by them, not by you. That said, I heard you say something about money.
Yes, I haven't been able to spend much money in the last 2 years on account of being a virtual intelligence. So all of my pay has just been accumulating in my account. I'm happy to give it all to all of you once the mission is complete. 20,000 credits.
20,000?
I'm going to have to reach out to my financial advisor, Thorn.
Thorn's eyes have turned into dollar signs. That's a lot of credits, and it would certainly go a long way to helping us complete the mission if it was available up front, let's just say.
So, Alara, if we do this and go through this mission, because it sounds pretty crazy with our, you know, you admitted our pretty podunk ship to be going into a secret location to let out a secret virus to take down a secret organization. It's pretty wild.
One that knows we're coming now.
Yeah, but there, I'll find the people that killed my sister.
Yes, you and I are looking for the same thing, Haley. Vengeance. And we have the same target, and I have the means to destroy them. All I need is your brawn.
Well, it's just about the only skill I have left, so if I get to use it here, then let's do it.
Thorn, I thought the 20,000 credits might raise your eyebrows a bit, but I went digging in your past.
Hang on, let me interrupt you there. If you're about to tell me that these Viridine fools are doing something to the people of Zephyrus 3, you better not show me any horrifying video, because I don't think I could take it.
No. Nothing quite so macabre as what happened to Robert and Haley. No, I feel like all I need to tell you is that Viridine owns Prometheon, and Prometheon owns Nexus Trading, the corporation that stole and gutted your family's business.
Yes, I am quite familiar. Even just hearing your story, I could sense the similarity between what Prometheon did and what Nexus did to me. Even not considering the monetary reward, I was already considering helping. Let's just say I have no interest in ending up in an Omnitech prison, but there are wrongs that need to be righted. And if I can help you do that, well, just make sure we keep things honest, you don't steer us into any unnecessary trouble, and sure, I'll be your face man.
Excellent. And yes, honesty from here on out. So that makes revenge for myself, Robert, Haley, and Thorn. Felix, I don't know what I can offer you, except for access to technology in Prometheon that is likely beyond your wildest dreams.
That's more than enough, Doc. Knowledge, information, technology, that's what I'm after.
Great. It'll take us 10 months to get there. Along the way, we'll be passing through the borders of several different corporations. We'll have to make our way through their space, safely, hopefully quietly, to eventually reach Prometheon. When we get there, we'll have to somehow get close enough to upload the virus. Once that's done, I don't care what you do with their station. I don't care what you do with me at that point. My mission will be done. In the meantime, I'll stay connected to your communication station. I can operate it for you. But the one thing I can't do is take actual action on your ship. I have access to all of your sensors, but I don't feel right trying to access navigational controls or anything like that. I wouldn't know what I'm doing.
It's read-only access.
So in the meantime, I'll use the sensors and help you out how I can. And when you're off ship, I'm hopefully going to be able to give you tech support, keep the comm on you, and I'll help that way.
What about, you know, they have our faces, our names, our ship's identification. How are we going to even get anywhere like this?
They don't have as much as you think. They know they're looking for a merchant-class ship. But if you recall, right when you left Kamiri 4, I had set the scapegoat, not named that at the time, to ask you to register it.
Yeah?
They're not aware of that registration. You should be able to move fairly quietly across the sector.
Not bad.
The only reason they were able to trace you is because of my hack job to actually schedule the damn thing. I was trying to prevent them from finding me when the gas main went off and I lost most of my electrical power. When I disconnected from the ExoNet, they were able to force their way through and trace the hack. And that's how they found us. Now that I'm on your ship, with your reactor, as long as it doesn't go down, I should hopefully be able to keep us invisible to them. Just don't do anything too loud.
Well, all I want to do is keep this mission funded, and maybe line our pockets along the way. I could do it quietly.
Robert, set the course. Everybody get to your stations. Let's keep following that signal.
And with that, you set a course for what was once the mysterious signal and is now the secret Prometheon base. And that will be for another time. First big milestone complete.
Hooray!
Everyone is going to level up.
Huzzah! Oh, yeah.
And I want everyone to do their diary entries now.
Well, I can't believe it. That doctor we were talking to is actually just a consciousness inside an alien artifact. Some people. Well, turns out that story is pretty sad one, and it's pretty close to home. I only wonder what kind of horrible things could be happening back home on Zephyrus. Now that I know that Nexus is part of this Prometheon, it worries me. I hope that after all this I can get back home, and maybe Ma and the others are still there, working hard. Here's hoping.
I cannot believe my luck. I mean, there is a literal alien artifact with a consciousness inside of it on my ship. Holy shit. And we get to spend 10 months with this, and I get to figure it out and learn about it. And, oh man, there's a promise of more technology and more information. This mission has become a whole lot more interesting. I mean, right now, I'm just glad to be back on the scapegoat. Honestly, the team came together really well today, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Haley here. So I knew that working and, you know, ever since I left my home planet, really, that working for a corp was going to bring a lot of conflicting feelings with it. Because sometimes you get missions that you just don't, you know, you're always going to get missions you just don't necessarily agree, but you just got to do because it's your job. But you know, knowing that this is what happened to my sister, that's like seeing that video and seeing, you know, what she went through, what Robert went through, I got to do everything I can to make that right again somehow, not just for, you know, me, or you know, not even just the people who knew my sister, but how many other lives these people have messed up. Like, we might not necessarily be able to get rid of evil, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, but like, hey, at least we can start with something pretty bad. So yes, I'm gonna go see if we got any more of those purple flowers for a bit though, because it's gonna be a solid 10 months.
Well, Robert Ross thinks that it was a crazy time. Just when everything's going right, we run into some random Alora Voss AI in an alien doodad, whatchamacallit, and she lied to me. She broke the circle of trust. I don't know if I'm ever going to be really, truly able to trust her again. I will take her money, but I ain't going to trust her. Sold out by Omnitech. I always knew there was something wrong with that mission. And having to watch Haley, with one Y, of course, die again in front of me. Oh, I know I shouldn't blame her. But right now, Laura Voss is just the easiest person to lay this pain on.
Everyone having recorded their logs, you tuck yourselves in at night, each to your own individual bunks. A singular hallway runs like a spine down the middle of the scapegoat, with all of your bunks off of this hallway. You hear the hiss of a pneumatic door, probably just one of your fellow shipmates coming out to use the restroom. But then you hear a voice you completely forgot about.
Hello?
Oh my god, I forgot about Froggy.
Am I in space?
You've had a long day, so you simply roll over and go back to sleep.
Come on, guys. This isn't funny.
It's cold in space.
Every day, a Dark Star Adventure Cast employee is forced to clean out the scapegoat septic tank. The worst job imaginable.
P.U., this stinks.
But thanks to generous patrons like Brad and Holly, our septic has never looked cleaner. For just pennies a day, you can help keep the ship as clean as a drift rat's beehole and relieve the suffering of a hapless crewmate who's just trying to record a podcast but is being forced to clean the septic for totally plot-related reasons. So don't be a dirty drift rat. Be like Brad and Holly. Keep the scapegoat clean at patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast.
Wow, much better. Thanks, kind stranger.